It's a community church, it's a different kind of church, where we're not bound by tradition, but we can be free in spirit and be blessed by God. Let me tell you a true story. There was once a lady who lived on the edge of the town, like King City, for example. She lived apart from the community, she was up in the hills like, and she lived there for many, many years all by herself. She was contented, she was happy, but there was a strange difference between her house and the houses of her friends who lived in the town. And the difference was electricity. The people in town had what is equivalent to PG&E. All she had was candlelight. She just had candles and matches. But that's the way she lived, and it was the way she was used to, and she saw nothing wrong with it, and it certainly was okay. But it wasn't up to the, quote, standards of the people who lived in the town. And sometimes people would come and say, why don't you get electricity? Oh, it costs too much, could never do it, and they just let it go. Sometimes your friend would say, we have all these appliances and we can do so many beautiful things in our home. You can. But one day, a man came out to visit her, and when she was bemoaning the fact that life was different from her than her friends in town, he observed, with his keen eyes, that the major power line came quite near her house that was feeding electricity into the homes of her friends. And he said, you know, it would not be very expensive because extra lines do not have to be brought in on poles to bring you electricity. It's right here. All you've got to do is to request it and make arrangements to reach up and get it. And she did it, and her life was changed. Now today we traditionally celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All you've got to do, since it is available, is just to reach up and get it, because the price has been paid by Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is available. And all you've got to do to have your life changed this morning is just to reach up and get it. Now I want to reach up for more. That is why I say all of us can move from where we are to a different position in Jesus, the Christian into higher land, the non-Christian into the land. We all can make a move, but we've got to say, feet move. So say, feet move, seat move, body rise, let's stand, and let's give our praises to God, for He is Jehovah. We've been singing every Sunday during May, and I guess you may be happy that this is the last Sunday in May. I'm not. He is Jehovah.
Amen.
Turn to someone and say, He is the God that healeth you. He's the God that healeth you. He is the God that healeth you. You may be seated. And I praise God that He is, you know, He's alive and He's well and He's active and He wants to be just as real to you as the person that you just spoke to by saying He's the God that heals you. Because God hasn't changed. God's not changing at all. He is just the way He was. Doesn't that excite you? He is just the way He was 10 years ago. You think in your mind how you were 10 years ago. Gosh, you looked differently, you acted differently, you were differently. Because even now, every cell in your body is beginning to move and change and deteriorate. But not so with God. He just is. I am God. Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? Just say God sent you. Just say God sent you. Who? I am sent you. You tell those people that I am sent you. And this morning, if you want to know who sends me to deliver this sermon to you, it's I Am. Not I Am, but I Am. The great I Am gives this sermon. And I want to speak in the Spirit to you today as to what He's saying to the church. Father, as we open Your Word, I pray that those words that we hear read or that we as a congregation will read later in the sermon will just be peeled off of the page and pressed upon the heart. The printed word will become the pierced word. And that printed word that's in the Word of God, which is printed in black, would be placed upon our hearts with the blood of Jesus. And even if it is not a red letter edition that we hold in our hand, we would hold our life and give our life to you to be held in your hand with the red letter effect, which is to say that we're going to believe the Word of God, and we're going to stand upon the promises in God's Word, and we're going to take all that God has for us to take, and we're going to give all that we have to give, and then we're going to give a little bit more, just like Jesus did. He gave His words. He gave His very being while He lived, but then He went one more step, and He gave Himself. Father, You're asking us to give ourselves to You and to one another. And I pray this would be in effect this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The story I told you about the lady was true. She did live without the electricity for a long time. They had electricity in the town for I don't know how many years, but she didn't. But finally she claimed the promise that if you ask, you will receive the electricity. I would not ask you to lift your hand if you were a Christian, but probably most of us would do that. We would say, I am a Christian. And you would have no difficulty in doing that in this context. But on the street, where you work, or in the school, if somebody asks that question, you may have a little difficulty. Maybe with a little reservation would you lift up your hand. I am a Christian, you know. You wouldn't get it very high. But then if there were a lot of people around you, if the majority were all Christians lifting up their hand, I'm for Jesus, you would lift that hand up really high. Because the peer pressure would be a little bit different that way. So I'm not going to ask you if you are a Christian, but if you are a Christian, you had to do one thing. You had to become a believer. And you just had to do what John 3:16 says that God did. You've got to do something about what God did. And it's very simply stated in this translation, the International Version, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that which he has done has been through God. If you're living in the light, and you're still sinners like we all are, but you're living in the light, it's because Jesus and you have become one. Now, if you're a Christian, you had to say, I respond to John 3:16. Now, today is Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost 1982. Pentecost, 50 days is the occasion after the Passover. It was a very special time. And did you know that in the Old Testament, there was Pentecost? It was a feast. They call it the Feast of Pentecost. So Pentecost is nothing New Testament. It's not new. It was an occasion that people celebrated, which was 50 days after. Now, this is not the Sunday of Pentecost, because we're not sure what was the Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. But whatever date that was, you add 50 days to it, and you have the celebration. Now, the calendar changes, and men change, But praise God that he doesn't change. And what he promised to the people at the Pentecost is going to come true. Now, I had my Pentecost 5 or 6 years ago. It was in the summertime. You've had your Pentecost if you take this next step. Now, I said, first of all, John 3:16. John 3:16 gets you into the kingdom. John 3:16 gets you into Jesus. Now, once you're in Jesus, praise God, you've got the ticket. It's the one way. You're on your way to heaven. You're going to get there. You're going to be there. But there's more to it than John 3:16. All of my adult life until 6 or 7 years ago, I lived under that false statement, be saved, get saved, and that's it. And then I began reading more in God's Word, and I read Luke 3:16. I was familiar with John 3:16, but not Luke 3:16. And Luke 3:16 reads like this. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, when I got John 3:16 into me, I was not baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I certainly did not have any fire. Now, Luke is a physician, and he is writing what John the Baptizer said to them all. John was the forerunner of Jesus, and John baptized people in water. And John said, I am baptizing you with this water. But there is going to come a person, and when that person comes, he is going to be so great, so important, so powerful, that I don't even dare get close and untie that leather strap that keeps that sandal on his foot. I couldn't even approach him. I won't even be worthy to untie that. And yet this same man that said, I am not worthy to untie the thong of Jesus, was a man that was so important that Jesus said, he has been born, and there is nobody else born that's more important than John the Baptist. And yet he, in his humility, said, I couldn't even untie his shoes. But he said, John said, he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, I want to lead you through some scriptures this morning, all in the book of Acts, basically. And in Acts chapter 1, we're going to turn to verse 4 and 5. Now, I just got through reading you the sentence. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to go back to that Luke. Luke said that John said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He said, I have been baptizing you in water, but he is going to baptize you not in water, because the scripture says that Jesus did not baptize one person in water. The disciples did the baptizing. I baptize in water, John said. Jesus is coming to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus came, and then Jesus said, don't leave, but wait for the gift. Suppose I was going to give you a gift this morning. I got a gift for everybody, but don't leave. Wait for it. And after we finish, I'm going to give you the gift. Well, if you knew it was a Ferrari, you would certainly all just stay right here and wouldn't leave. You would wait for the gift. Jesus says, you'll wait for the gift. For John baptized in water, he refers back to what Luke says, John baptized with water, But in a few days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, this lady who lived on the edge of town finally got the electricity. Now, I want to tell you another true story. I cannot vouch for the authenticity of it, but I was told it was true. In England, there was a lady who, like the lady who lived on the edge of the American town, did not have electricity, but finally got electricity. It was given to her. She just got it. That's what happens with the baptism. Sometimes people just get it, and we'll show you how in a little bit, and while other people have to ask for it. The lady who lived on the outside of the American town had to ask for the electricity. This lady who lived in England was given the electricity just by the power company, and she took care of the necessary payments every month. But it was new to her. In fact, it was so new to her that she continued to live using wicks and oil and lamps. And she continued the drudgery of cleaning. Have any of you ever had to clean out the globe of a camping lantern or another lantern? It's messy, it's tiresome, and it's dirty, and it's what I don't like to ever do. And so we got rid of all of our globes that we had to clean the soot out of. This lady continued doing this. True story. Day after day, she trimmed her wicks, she filled the oil in the bowl, and she struck the match. And she lived that way. She lived by herself, she had no relatives, and she had no friends. But finally, a person came to visit her one day. And they said, "Why are you living this way? Why are you living in the filth of the soot and in the drudgery of the wick and in the laborious act of pouring in the oil and getting the matches ready? Why are you living this way?" And she replied, "Well, what other way is there to live? I don't know any other way." And the person said, "Well, all you got to do is to go over and turn the switch over." Oh, she said, "A man said something about that switch over there, but I don't remember what he said. He just came and did it and left." And she had been living for a long time with it right there, but she had never turned the switch on. The lady said, "All you've got to do is to get a light bulb and screw it in. You've got the switch. You've got the socket for the bulb." And yet, this lady lived this way for a long time. There are people today who are living the same way spiritually. Jesus has paid the price for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for life abundant. And all you've got to do is just take Jesus into you and just sort of let him become a part of you. Yeah, you've got to turn him on. Because he said, "You have got to do these things." And then when you do, you change a little bit. Well, he said it this way. He said, "Rivers of living water will just pour out of you." The baptism of the Holy Spirit. So John says, "I'm baptizing people in water, but there's going to come a day when Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Jesus said to the disciples, "Don't leave, but stay right there, for the promise is here. John baptized you with water. In a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So they waited, and they waited, and they waited. In chapter 2, if you are using a Bible that has a caption, it says, "The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost." When these disciples were waiting for the Holy Spirit, they had to wait. All good things come to those who wait. They waited for it. When they got it, there was no lack of power in their lives. Today, I see people, and you're looking at a person, who from time to time goes not in the power of God, but in the power of man. It's easy to walk with what facilities we have. But God is saying that the people, as a whole, of our churches today, are not living with the power that they have. And there's an energy crisis. And it's getting worse and worse in America and better and better in the community church, because there's no energy crisis for the person who will receive the power of God. There is the power of God, there's the power of Jesus, and there's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the power of God, in 1
Chronicles chapter 29, it says, Thou, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. And so God's got a lot of power. After all, he created the whole universe out of nothing. Then there's the power of Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it reads like this. Jesus called the 12 together. He gave them power. He gave him his power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now he sent the guys out to do this. And this is what we, the guys, are supposed to do as disciples. Or disciple-ettes, if you are a lady. He sent the disciples out to preach, and he gave them the power to heal the sick, and to cast out the demons, to cure the diseases. And they went out preaching and then healing the sick. And that is why today every one of you fathers and mothers have God's power in you, if you are a Christian, to take care of your children when they're ill, when they're sick, when they cut their finger, when they have a headache, when they're hurting, when their emotions have been bladdered. All you've got to do is, with the power that's within you, is to exercise it. But if you're living John 3:16, you don't have that power as effectively as you do with Luke 3:16. Now you've got it, but not as effective as Luke 3:16. And in chapter 10 of Luke, verse 19, it reads like this, I gave you authority to go out, overcome the power of the enemy. And that's what we're up against today. With the energy crisis, the enemy power, we've got the authority. So these disciples were sitting in the upper room, and the room had to be about this size because 120 people were there. And it was an upstairs room, and they were waiting, and they were waiting. And on the back of your bulletin, you'll find out what happened. Why don't you read it with me? When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together, I'm not hearing very many people read, in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Libya, according to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my messengers,
and my maidservants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now these are the words of God. They're printed on the back of your bulletin. They're printed in your Bible. And they come from the second chapter of Acts. If you have a Bible, and if you want to turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 17, you will see in paragraph form or in the sentence structure several very important sentences that Luke writes. What he is writing is what Peter said, Peter and the 11. And you'll find a footnote that says Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. This is one of the many, many, many Old Testament passages that are recorded in the New Testament, which shows the importance of the Old Testament. Jesus quoted from it. Many of the writers of the New Testament refers to it. So don't be guilty of saying, I live under the New Testament, under the New Covenant. No, we don't. We live under God's total Word, which includes the Old Testament and the New Testament. So Peter says, all of you have gotten very alarmed because these people are speaking in strange tongues. But yet they're speaking in languages that all of the people from around the known world who were there were speaking in. It's like going down to some international market, like San Francisco or New Orleans. And there are all kind of people there speaking all kind of languages. And you walk by, you can't understand them all. That day, people from the known world had come to Jerusalem because they were believers. They were Jewish people. They weren't pagans. They were people who were there to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. They were there for a purpose. And then while they were there, something happened in a room about this size with 120 people, and it caused such a commotion that everybody in the room started speaking a language. And they started speaking a language after the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And it appeared, the scripture says, like there were tongues. You know what a tongue looks like? Tongue of fire on top of their heads. And there was a mighty wind like that had come through. Something erupted. Something happened in that room. And everybody around the room came near. Like, for example, in the lawn across the street. And across the street over there, and over in this direction, people who were in the area would come, and we would go outdoors and start speaking in strange language. Now, it would be very, very difficult for John to stand up and speak in fluent Spanish, I think. I wanted to say Chinese. You could speak Spanish. Difficult too, okay. And it would be very difficult for Martha Roger to stand up and speak in German, I think. Okay, these people went out and started speaking. Now, they didn't have time to go to school and prepare and figure all this out. They went out Bibling, but they went out speaking a strange tongue to them. And the people said, this is something. This is something. I know that guy, and he is speaking in my language. I'm understanding him. Well, they're drunk. A whole bunch of them are drunk. That's what it is. They're drunk. So Peter stands up with the 11 and quiets the people who are all the way around. And he says, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. What is happening is what was prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 32. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. Now, have you followed through? John the Baptist said, Jesus is coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Jesus came, and then Jesus said to the disciples, I'm leaving, I'm going. And as he went up, the angel stood by and said, now you guys, you're seeing him go up in the clouds. He's going to come back in the clouds. But before he went up, he said, you wait in Jerusalem for the promise. Joel, hundreds of years before, promised. Jesus said, wait. Wait for the promise. And then it happened. He preached a sermon about Jesus being nailed to the cross with the help of these people. And after his sermon was over, they said, after being cut to the heart, brothers, what should we do? And so Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, so that your sins will be forgiven. Now listen to what he says. They were convicted because of his sermon. He preached about the death of Jesus. They said, what should we do? And Peter says, repent, which is the over and over cry of God, particularly to our church the last year through prophecy, repent, give your heart to him. Repent, be baptized in water, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. That's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the Son, God, Father, Holy Spirit, so that your sins will be forgiven. That's John 3:16. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that comes next. And we're going to see in a few minutes as we turn to three passages in the book of Acts that the gift of the Holy Spirit came to people before and after they had hands laid upon them, and also before or after in different cases as they were baptized in water. I guess the problem is for us today, we wonder why we are not living with more power. We wonder why we can't do what the Scripture says we're supposed to do. We wonder why our life is as it is and not more with power in our where we work and live. And I guess the reason goes right back to Luke 3:16. It goes right back to what we're celebrating on this traditional kind of a day, and that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when you became a Christian, a pastor baptized you in water. Then, when those of you who came into the new dimension of the Holy Spirit baptism, then you had another baptism, and that baptism was by Jesus, because Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. Now, the word baptize, baptisto, means to dip or to plunge, to draw out of. And the baptismal act is going down into the water. And that's not baptism, that's burial, that's death. And if I left people in this baptistry under the water, that's just not what you're supposed to do. I say, I'm going to baptize you, not bury you. But I do bury them, but I baptize them. And baptizing is getting them up out of the water. So it's the going down and it's the coming back up. Now, when you go down in death with Jesus and accept John 3:16, you know you died for Jesus. And Jesus says then, let it come up out of you. And that's that river that flows out of our heart, the rushing river that Jesus says, that we read about. It just comes, living water just comes right out of you. The Holy Spirit baptism is not emotions, and it's not intellect, but it's just faithing what Jesus has to give to you. Now, I believe with all my heart that this morning, if you are a Christian, you can walk out of this room being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because, well, John put it this way. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And then he says, Jesus, unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, and if I go, then I'm going to send him to you. Now, when he comes back, this is the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And then John goes on to say that if your son comes to you and asks for a loaf of bread, as a father, you'll probably give him a loaf of bread. You wouldn't go out and give him a stone. And the reason for that analogy is that the little stones and pebbles around Jerusalem look like pieces of bread. And so the son comes in and says, Daddy, I'm hungry. Give me a piece of bread. Well, as a father, you wouldn't give him that piece of that stone that looks like bread. Now Jesus says, if as a father, you would not give your son a stone when he asks for bread, how much more the Heavenly Father will give what you ask for? And if you ask for the fullness of His Spirit, He will give you the fullness of His Spirit. And that's where it is. If you are John 3:16, you can be Luke 3:16 as you leave by asking the Father to give it to you. Now, I want to lead you through some scriptures in Acts. I'd like for you to turn, if you will, to your Bibles. And the first will come from Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This is the story of Philip and Peter and John and something very important that happened. Now, the book is called Acts because it's the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts. A-C-T-S, the Acts of the Apostles. In the Acts of the Apostles, there are three basic stories that talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want just to look at them very briefly to see how they are similar and how they differ, so that each one of you can be where these three stories are. Now, Acts chapter 8, we'll begin with verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now we have Philip going out and preaching the word of God. He went to Jerusalem he went to Samaria and people got saved. John 3:16, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And they were saved. So when the word came back to Jerusalem that the people in Samaria had been saved, Peter and John went down there, and when they arrived, in verse 15, they prayed for them that they might receive what? The Holy Spirit. Because, it says here, the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Go back to the first scripture we talked about. John, baptized in water. But Jesus will baptize in the Holy Spirit. Philip preaches, the people are saved and baptized in John's baptism, that is the baptism of the water. They had not received the Holy Spirit. It had not come upon them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now this is just basic salvation and basic baptism after you're saved, because Jesus said, when you're saved, the next step in obedience is to be baptized. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized and you are a Christian, you're living out of obedience, at least in this one area, because Jesus says be baptized after you make a profession of faith. So, verse 17, Peter and John placed their hands on these people that had been saved and had been baptized in water, and they received the Holy Spirit. That's all it says. The next sentence says, when Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and he said, give me this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what was the sign? It doesn't say. But something happened to these people when they had hands laid upon them. And it was speaking in tongues. It had to be the only visible sign. And Simon saw it, the visible sign, and wanted the ability so that everybody on whom I lay my hands on can receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said, your money perished with you because you thought to buy God's gift with money. You've got no part of this. Your heart's not right with God. You're full of bitterness and captive to sin, fettered or iniquity. Your soul is all fettered up. So this is the first of those three stories. People were Christians, but they were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so a man came up, laid hands upon them, and it says they received the Holy Spirit baptism and an accompanying sign, which we are interpreting to be tongues. Now, if you want to go to chapter 10, which I trust you will, chapter 10, verse 44, the second story. The context of this story is that Peter has been sent to Cornelius' house, and we've preached from this in the last couple of months, and so you know the story about that. But the point is that he went to them, and in verse 14, verse 44, and he went to them, and he said, why am I here? And Cornelius said, I am here to hear what God has told you to tell me. Very important. I am here to hear what God has told you to tell me and my household and my friends. We're all here. And so it says in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking, that means while he was preaching to the people, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished. About what? They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, stay here for the gift. They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So here, they received the Holy Spirit baptism first, and they were seen and heard and speaking in tongues. And then they were baptized in the water. And note here, there were no hands placed upon the people. The reason I praise God for these three stories is that while they are similar, they are different. Which is to say that nobody can say you've got to have hands laid upon you by the pastor to receive the Holy Spirit. You can have it without it. I had it without it. Some of you had it with it. not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. There are people in churches today, and I was a pastor of a church like it, and went to many churches like it, we never heard that there was the Holy Spirit. We knew of the Holy Spirit that's in our lives as a Christian, John 3:16, but we never heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were Christians, and they said, no, we haven't even heard that the Holy Spirit has been given. And so Paul asked, what baptism did you receive? If you are a Christian, were you baptized? And they replied. First of all, Paul says in verse 4, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Paul says, what baptism were you baptized in? And they said, John. Remember the first verse? John baptizes in water. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. When the Spirit of God comes upon a person to prophesy, and that person yields to that Spirit of God, it can be anybody in this building. And that is why the Spirit of God has come upon people in this church. They've told me afterwards, and they've said, God wanted me to say this, and I just couldn't say it. But then there was another person who had enough guts to say it, and they did it, and they prophesied. And it was the very same thing. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, be obedient and prophesy. These people spoke in tongues and they prophesied. There were 12 people right in that congregation. They were baptized first, hands placed upon them, and then it says they spoke in tongues. You see, this is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. It is a package that starts and ends with love and has a few things sprinkled in between. One of the things being tongues. And every Christian can speak in tongues. All the Christians don't, but every Christian can. Every Christian can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what it is just a being baptized into the love of God. And that's what some people have called it. And it overflows into praise. And you have a great desire to glorify Jesus in every possible way. The Scripture becomes alive to you. You've got daily guidance. And this is what the baptism is all about. It is for power. And the love factor is the most important thing. And that's what's got to be emphasized. Paul even said it. Though I speak with tongues and don't have love, I am like a sounding gong or a tinkling cymbal. So tongues are very, very important. But the most important thing is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Talks about the many gifts. And it says here, he gives people miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. Now, if you're using a King James translation, many of the times where it says tongues, it will have prefaced by the word unknown tongues, and it's in italics, which means that word is not in the original translations of that scripture. But the translators have placed that there so that people will know how to interpret the next word, unknown tongues, because tongues are unknown. However, in this case here, the word language is properly used. Now let me explain to you the difference between tongues that happened at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and the tongues that occurred in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14. In the case of the tongue speaking at Pentecost, the scripture says that the people heard them in their own language. And people spoke in all different languages, and the people heard. And when the person said something, that person interpreted it because they knew what they were saying. The tongues mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the problem that the people were having in the church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, are the tongues, basically, that have to do with the unknown language, unknown tongues, that the person who is speaking does not understand, nor the person listening understands. Now, somebody says, you mean to tell me you can speak in tongues anytime you want to? Yes, you can. You just can start and stop whenever. Because the Holy Spirit is never going to come and hurt you or surprise you or embarrass you in any way. He's your friend. Oh yes, he's not always a comforter. Sometimes he is a person that sort of convicts us. But the Holy Spirit will always be our friend and help us. And so one person said, I never want to ask God for the Holy Spirit baptism in tongues because I would be embarrassed. I would just be sitting in school and I'd stand up and start preaching and speaking in tongues. Well, that's not the way it happens. You do it when you want to because you have got to use your vocal cords when you decide to speak in tongues. But what you say is supplied by the Holy Spirit. Now, when a person speaks in tongues and you cannot understand it, it's called a prayer language. It's called a heavenly language. It's called tongues. That's what it is. It's called tongues. And unless it is given in prophecy, it needs no interpretation. Now, we can stand in a few minutes and sing a chorus of praise. And some of you may want to lift your hands and just speak in tongues in praising God. And if somebody sitting next to you should hear you speak in tongues, they need not be upset nor say, hey, I didn't have an interpretation. Because you were praising God privately. And just so that it happened, somebody happened to hear you. But if we were all quiet, or if there was an occasion when God wanted to speak to us through the prophetic gift of tongues, then a person would stand or be seated and would speak very loud over the volume of the people if they were speaking this word of God, which would be in tongues. And if that happened in our church, as it has happened, then there should come after it an interpretation of what was heard, because nobody was edified by that word of God unless there happens to be the interpretation. So the two kind of tongues that we have are the tongues that are for languages for people and the tongues that are given for praising God and for interpretation of God's prophecy. There was a lady who went to a church similar to ours, and the pastor said, if you want to come down to the front and pray for people, you can. And she came down, and her husband came down with her, who was not a Christian. And while she was kneeling there, she spoke in tongues, which she had spoken before, but the tongue was different. And many of you who've had tongues know that sometimes your tongues are different. And she started speaking in tongues, and the person sitting next to her, who also was not a Christian, but who had come down, heard immediately in his, I think it was Filipino language, what this American girl was speaking in tongues. Now, she had never spoken in that kind of a dialect in her tongues before. But the person kneeling next to her heard in his language. And furthermore, this person gave out loud his complete Oriental name, which was very long, which of course nobody even knew, but God. And it was the occasion for this person receiving Jesus into his heart. So there are two kinds of tongues. There are tongues for languages, of which we have seen and experienced very little. And there is the other type of tongues which we experience a lot of, and that's our praying to God. If you're here this morning and you have received the Holy Spirit baptism, but you don't have your tongues, and you want your tongues, and you've asked for your tongues, and you don't have your tongues, let me say just there are four reasons why that you may not have received your tongues. I'm not saying this is the reason, but these are four reasons that I found in the lives of some people that they haven't had their prayer language. Number one has been simply sin. The other day I took Jody out for a date, and we were drinking chocolate milk out of a little carton, and we were using a straw, and she couldn't get any more chocolate milk out, and I knew by lifting it up that it was half full, and there was no reason why, but yet she was, and it wasn't coming up through the straw. And so I pulled the straw out and discovered that it was blocked at the bottom, and that is why she couldn't receive what she wanted to receive. Now, sometimes sin blocks the straw, and we're not able to receive. And the second thing that I have found is true sometimes, an unforgiving spirit. And three, bondage. Varying degrees of bondage to evil spirits have caused Christian baptized in the Holy Spirit not to receive the tongues. And the fourth thing is pride. It keeps a lot of people out of the kingdom, and it keeps a lot of people out of baptism. This is why God respects our uniqueness. But I believe that the new dimension for you is yours just for the asking, if you would receive it this morning. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was entirely different from Nancy's receiving the baptism, and probably different from yours, and yours different from somebody else. All uniquely different. But what happened was the very same thing. As Jesus said, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive that gift, you are walking in higher lands with God. You are no better. You are no better than anybody else. In fact, in most cases, you find out you're worse off than them because you know your unworthiness. But you're in a new kind of a dimension. And when I received my baptism after Nancy received hers, I was quite disappointed that she had tongues and I didn't have tongues. And so I rationalized that it was not for everybody. It was only for certain people. And she had her tongues, and Mr. So-and-so had his, and Mrs. So-and-so had hers, and Miss So-and-so had hers, but not me. Therefore, I could not receive them. But as I read the scripture, I found no scripture that says that some do and some don't. That it's part of the deal that you can have if you want it. So I went through the four things. Sin, boy, I had a lot of sin. Unforgiving spirit, I had unforgiveness in my heart. Bondage, unknowingly, yes, at that time. And also pride. Now these four things I had, I say I still have today, 2 degrees. But I wanted that tongue experience. So I went down the line, number 1, 2, 3, 4, confessed every sin and unknown sin. Unforgiveness, I forgave everybody I could think of and those that I couldn't think of. Bondage, I broke everything at that time to the degree that I knew how 5 or 6 years ago. And 4, I took care of the pride that was taken care of at that time. But these things still come in our lives. And I still didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit with the tongues. Our youth director, Ed Barber, at the time had a tape that he was repairing. He brought it to the secretary, and she was going to repair the tape. And she had difficulty in doing it. I had repaired a lot of tapes, and so she gave it to me to repair. So I took the tape case apart. I took out the two ends of the tape. I cut them at the right angle. I put the scotch tape on it. I trimmed the scotch tape. I put it back in the case. I noticed that both sides seemed to be the same degree of glossiness. And so to make sure that I had the right sides together, I backed the tape up to listen to what was saying to make sure the tape was ready to give to this party that Ed Barber wanted to give it to. When I turned the tape on, I heard something that was sort of interesting. And then I got past the splice, and it was so interesting that I just could not turn that tape recorder off. It really, you've heard of things grabbing you? This grabbed me. So I went to the library that we had at that time in the social hall and pulled out a cassette recorder, a playback that we loaned to people, and I took it with me while I had an appointment out in the country. While I drove out there, I listened to this story. It was so fascinating, it just grabbed me. I couldn't turn it off. When I got to the ranch, I didn't want to turn it off, and yet I had to. It was time to go in. So I turned it off and I went in, but I tell you, my heart was back there in the car. I wanted to get back and listen to what I was listening to. And I'm sure I cut that appointment short. I got back in the car and I listened. And the gist of what I heard was this. A lady was saved. She was a Christian, and no doubt about it. This lady had been baptized in the Holy Spirit because she had accepted what John writes, that if you ask, you will receive. Now, you may not look any different and act any different and be any different, but when you ask, you will receive. And so she in faith believed she had received it. She came forward when the invitation was given for tongues. And she did not receive tongues, though people all around her started speaking in their heavenly language. She went home dejected. She went home feeling bad and sad and all those other kind of adjectives. And she walked in, she saw her husband with his holy t-shirt, drinking a bottle of beer, watching a ball game on the TV. She said, that's not for me, I'm going to go to my bedroom and pray. She went to her bedroom and this is why I heard it was so interesting. And she knelt down beside the bed and she just started praying again. Lord, I am a child of God, you've baptized me in the Holy Spirit, I want to receive my prayer language. And all of a sudden, there was, just like you read on the back of the bulletin, the sound of a rushing mighty wind in that bedroom. It was alive to her. And she broke forth in tongues and started praising God in tongues. Then she realized that the furnace had gone on. Central heating. And she was sitting and kneeling right beside one of the ducts. And the furnace had clicked on and had given that blast of air and the sound of a rushing mighty wind. But what it did was trigger her faith in such a way that it released her into a new dimension that changed her life. And that's what tongues can do, can change your dimension of life. And this is what we want to continue next Sunday morning. It can change in how you can use your tongues. But let me just say this as we close. I believe that on Pentecost Sunday 1982 can be your personal Pentecost if you've never received it. Because you have waited up until this time and God is still the same to say, if you're lost, I'll give you salvation. If you're saved, I'll give you a new dimension. It doesn't make you better. But it does something with what you've got in the world and where you're living. God respects our uniqueness. Would you stand and pray with me?